Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're back in the actual Bhagavad Sandarbha, text number 24. We're still talking about the personal qualities of the Supreme Lord and how they comprise his spiritual energy. Tata mam bhajanti gunat sarve nirgunam nirapekshakam suridam priyamatmanam samyasangadayo gunah. There is also the statement, all qualities like equanimity and detachment take shelter in me, the well-wishing, dearmost soul of all, who am without qualities and concerns. Again, this contrast. He's aguna. He doesn't have any qualities. But all qualities, all good qualities, reside in him. And one of those qualities is suridam. Or rather, he is suridam. He's the best friend of everyone, best friend especially of his devotees. But he has no concerns. He's nirapekshakam. He's indifferent, but he's best friend of the devotees. Well, the context is, I mean, some details involved, but basically the context is we're introducing now the internal energy. And all the qualities of the Lord are manifested by that spiritual swarup shakti. Therefore, they're equal with him in quality. They're eternal as he is. They're perfect as he is. They're non-different from him, his qualities, because they're manifestations of his sarupa shakti. This is what we're beginning to learn about, the sarupa shakti. That's the topic under discussion from here to the end of the end of this sandarbha, is describing the manifestations of Krishna's, of the Supreme Lord's, Bhagawan's, Swarup Shakti. Okay. Sridhar Swami comments on that verse we just read from the Uddhava Gita. Is it Uddhava Gita? It is. 13th chapter, 11th canto. Tika cha katambhutaha aguna guna parinama rupa nabhavanti kintu nitya ityartaha. Oh. Now, how has this come? Agunaha. Oh, okay. The last word in the verse is agunaha, and it's plural. It's not referring to him. Actually, he's the object, mambhajanti. But agunaha, the last word in the verse, is subject case plural. The qualities are the agunas are agunas. That means, well, what does it mean? Sridhar Swami explains. How are the gunas aguna? How are the gunas not gunas? Commentary on this says, what are these qualities like? They are non-qualities. They're agunas. Meaning that, and Sridhar Swami explains, that means that they do not appear as transformations of the material modes, but rather are eternal. This is something of a play on words. Guna means quality. Any kind of quality is a guna. But in Vedanta philosophy, technically, gunas means the three modes of nature. So here are qualities, real qualities, but they're not products of the three gunas. They're gunas that are not gunas. Non-gunic gunas. Also, tatacha narada pancharatre jitang te stotre namak sarva gunatita shadgunyadi vedase. Also in the Jittam Te Stotra of the Narada Pancharatra, obeisances to the original creator, whose six kinds of qualities are beyond all qualities. Sarva guna tita shadgunya, his shadgunas, his six assets, are beyond all material qualities. Sarva guna atita. Okay. Do you know this Jittam Te Stotra? Okay. Famous. I don't know it. The short commentary. On the surface, revealed scripture contradicts itself when it says both that the Supreme has qualities and he doesn't. But the Vedas and Shastras, faithful to the Vedas, never say anything false. Sri Ramanujacharya in his Vedarta Sangraha suggests that to reconcile a pair of contrary statements coming from the same impeccable authority, we should assume an implied adjective to modify the meaning of one or the other. Two statements, both coming from Vedas, but they seem to contradict, so you have to understand one of them in a modified way. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is full of qualities, he has no material qualities. We add the adjective material. He's got some sort of quality, but not material qualities. Let me ask for a reference. Where in the Vedanta Sangha? If we can give a verse reference, that'd be good. Okay. The same is said in the Brahmatarka. This is a book that's quoted by Madhvacharya. I think it still exists, the Brahmatarka. Taruktam Brahmatarki Gunai Swarupa Bhutais Tu Gunya sau hadir ishvaraha na vishnur na cha muktanam kwapi binno guno mataha. The same is stated in the Brahmatarka. The Supreme Lord is a Hari, is a possessor of qualities by virtue of the qualities belonging to his eternal essential self. He's got qualities that belong to his essential self. So if he's got a certain kind of qualities, it means he has qualities. It is understood that neither Vishnu nor his devotees ever have separated qualities. He's got one kind of qualities, but he doesn't have another kind of qualities. He doesn't have separate material qualities. Okay. Kalika Purane Devi Krita Vishnu Stave. And in the prayers to Vishnu by Devi in the Kalika Purana, or Vaishnavacharyas don't often quote from these Tamasic Puranas. This is an Upa Purana. We have a copy of it in the library, the Kalika Purana. I think we even have an English translation or commentary on it. And Devi, goddess Kalika, prays to Vishnu, since, I didn't read the Sanskrit of it, yasya brahmadayo deva munayas chattapodana navrivrinvanti rupani varnaniya katam same. Since the demigods led by Brahma and the sages rich in austerity cannot adequately describe your appearances, how can I speak about you? Sriya maya te kim geya nirgunasya gunak prabho naiva jananti yad rupam sindra api sura sura. Even, O master, how can a woman like me understand the qualities of you who have no qualities? how can the qualities of the one who has no qualities be understood? Even Indra and all the demigods and demons fail to understand your form. The verse under discussion, Bhagavatam 11:13-40, Sri Hamsadeva Sanakadin, was spoken by Sri Hamsadeva to Sanaka and his brothers. That is, going back to the beginning, well, there's only two parts. Mamba Janti Gunah Sarva. Oh, that's from the 11th canto, but it was actually told by Krishna to Uddhava, the story of Hamsadeva visiting the four Kumaras. And this verse was spoken by Lord Hamsadeva, the swan. Mamba Janti Gunah Sarva. Nirgunam Nirapekshakam. Commentary, what distinguishes material qualities? Okay, the Lord doesn't have material qualities. What's a material quality? Okay, we should know that to understand which qualities the Lord doesn't have. In what sense he doesn't have qualities, what are material qualities? What is a material quality? Qualities that don't belong to the essence of their possessor. If I'm feverish, that's unfortunate, but it's not my essential quality to be feverish. But the Lord, he has only essential qualities. Qualities derived from the modes of material nature are all temporary, and so cannot be of the same essence as the eternal living souls in whom they contingently reside. Contingently means under certain conditions, temporarily. If a quality is going to be innate, if it's going to belong to the essence of some being, then it should have the same nature. If the being is eternal, then his qualities, his innate qualities, have to also be eternal. It is important, because from that we can demonstrate logically that all the innate qualities of the Supreme Lord are eternal, which is important to know. Especially since we can share in those qualities. By bhakti, we can tap into the eternal qualities of the Lord, and that way our life becomes eternal. Continuing, a man is not born wise, but he can become so only after effort over some time. And when he dies again, he takes birth in ignorance. Well, those, therefore, his wisdom and his ignorance are contingent, temporary qualities, not innate to him. The wisdom of God, however, is forever innate in him, as are all of his qualities. What is more, as the speaker of the Brahma Tarika here says, one who becomes a devotee of God also realizes in himself inseparable qualities with which he can perpetually enjoy the company of the Supreme. There are qualities that belong eternally to the jiva. His consciousness, his innate desires, innate consciousness, not temporary covered consciousness, but the real consciousness underneath, and the real desires underneath all the perverted desires, they're eternal. They're among the jivas, swarup shaktis, or is it swarup gunas, his innate qualities. It's not that the jiva, because he's so small, he doesn't have any potency, any qualities. Only the qualities of the jiva are very, very minute. Okay. That's it for 24, and that's it for this file. Now we move into the next file, file 8. Text 25. Only one paragraph here. Anyatra cha Sri Hamsa Vakya Stitadi Grahana Krodi Kritan Tan Bahun eva satyam shaucham ityadi birgoniyat va. Aha. Implicit in the word adi, What is it? Do you have 24 on the screen? Okay, I mean. Samya Asanga, his equanimity and his not being attached. Adi and so on. So implicit in that word adi and so on, in the statement of Sri Hamsa, are many other qualities. Well, what are these other qualities? They're enumerated elsewhere. By the verses Satyam Shocham Dayat Shantir, which is spoken by Mother Bhumi to Dharma, the bull, in the 16th chapter of the first canto. After listing in three verses major qualities of the Supreme Lord, Bhumi Devi speaking, then she makes a final statement, which conclude, this list enumeration concludes by her saying, Ete chanye cha bhagavan nitya yatra mahaguna prartya mahatvam ichad bir naviyanti smakar hichit. So she gives a long list of about 26 or 27 qualities, all significant personal qualities of the Supreme Lord. Shocham, Satyam, Shocham, truth and cleanliness, and so on. Then she says, my Lord, speaking to Dharmaraj, these and many other transcendental qualities prayed for by those who want to become great, Mahatvam Ichyadbir, they are eternally present in him, the qualities. They never leave him, Naviyanti Smakar Hichit. These and many others. You can list 26 or you can list 26 million qualities, and there's always more that you haven't listed. Tika Cha, the commentary explains, of Sridhar Swami. Ete ekona chatvarimshat. Anye cha brahmanyatva shananatvadayo mahanto guna yasmin nitya sahaja naviyanti nakshiyante sma ityesha. In whom these 39 exalted qualities. Okay, so Bhumi Devi mentioned 39 qualities. And others, like respect for Brahmins and ability to give shelter, they're not on her list. But he has many other qualities. His respect for Brahmins, his ability to give shelter, and so on, are all eternal or natural and never go away, which means they never decay. One thing is you have a quality and you lose it. You have have knowledge and you forget it. A quality can go away in that sense. You lose grasp of it. Another is the quality itself may decay. But the qualities of the Supreme Lord never decay. Neither do they abandon him. Atra Sri Vishnu Puranam. Kala Muhurt Adi Mayas Chakalo. Nayad vibhute parinama hetuhu iti. In this regard, Sri Vishnu Purana states, time with its minutes and hours never changes his opulences. Sri Prithivi, Sri Dharmam. The verse under discussion, Bhagavatam 1:16:30, was spoken by Mother Earth to Sri Dharma. Okay, now we have in the commentary the actual three verses listing all the qualities. In the previous Anuchet, Lord Hamsa said that all qualities take shelter in him. He said that. What are those qualities? He mentioned, he included equanimity, samya, and detachment, asanga. I wrote asanga, but it's asanga. And so on. What these additional qualities are is partly indicated by the longer list spoken by the goddess of the earth. Satyam Shotyam Dayakshantis Tyagak Santosha Arjavam Shamo Damastapak Samyam Titiksho Padatik Shutam Gyanam Vidaktir Aishwaryam Shauryam Tejo Balam Smitihi Swatantriyam Kaushalam Kantir Dairyam Mardavamevacha Pagalbiyam Prashrayat Shilam Saha Ojo Balam Bagaha Gambhiryam Styriyam Astikyam Kirtirmano Nahankritihi. In him reside truthfulness, cleanliness, intolerance of another's unhappiness, the power to control anger, generosity, self-satisfaction, straightforwardness, steadiness of mind, control of the sense organs, responsibility, equality, tolerance, disinterest in acquisition, attention to the instructions of Scripture, knowledge, absence of sense enjoyment, leadership, chivalry, influence, the power to make everything possible. Okay, all the qualities up to that one could be in a human being also. They're ideal human qualities. This one is godly. Only God can have the power to make everything possible. Thoughtfulness about the discharge of proper duty. Complete independence, that's also only for God. Dexterity. Fullness of all beauty, that's also only God. Serenity. Kind-heartedness. Ingenuity. Gentility. Magnanimity. Determination. Perfection in all knowledge. Proper execution. Possession of all objects of enjoyment. Sobriety. Immovability, fidelity, fame, worthiness of worship, and pridelessness. So jivas can share some of those qualities, not all of them. Okay. Anyway, anyone who studies this should get an idea what God is. God has qualities. These are the kinds of qualities he has. Not that God is some totally different kind of entity that we don't share anything with. There's nothing like us. Actually, he's a lot like us. If a human being could have some of these qualities, he'd be a very wonderful human being. God's not some horrible monster that will just swallow us. You know, he's actually very human because the human being is created in his image. Okay, next, the 26th Anuchet has two paragraphs. Ata eva aha namas tubhyam bhagavate brahmane paramatmane nayatra shriyate maya loka srishti vikalpana. That's from the 28th chapter of the 10th canto. Could that be... No, it's Varuna speaking. Lord Varuna says, thus there is the statement, my obeisance is unto you, the personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, the supreme soul, Bhagavate Brahmane Paramatmane, within whom there is no trace of the illusory energy, which orchestrates the creation of this world. The Maya, illusory energy, orchestrates the creation of this world. This is, let's see, 1020. Okay, it's not Prabhupada's translation, but I guess it's really another Maharaj's translation. It's nice. Vikalpana has been translated as orchestrate. That means like to arrange the, you know, Beethoven sits down at the piano and writes a symphony, and then later he orchestrates it. You know, rewrites it for all the musical instruments in the orchestra. Let's see, analysis of this by Jiva Goswami himself. Yatra Bhagavad Adi Twena Tridaiva Spurati Swarupe Maya Nashuyate. In whose essential self, in his Swarupa, which essential self manifests in three forms as Bhagavan and so on. Bhagavate, Brahmane, Paramatmane. Maya is not heard of in that Swarupa. Nashriyate. There's no Maya. There's no even rumor of a Maya. Nobody dares to mention there might be some Maya in this Swarupa of the Supreme Lord. Tasya tata tata spurtir maya ya nabhavadit yartaha. Which means, other words, that his appearance in each of these forms, as Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahma, Brahman, his appearance in each of these three forms is not through the agency of Maya. Not through the agency of Maya. Why? Tatra hetu. Loka shrishtav. Eva vikalpitum. Shrishti stitti samharaya vividam ishitum shilam yasyasa. This is because Maya's nature is to make arrangements for the creation of the world. In other words, to exercise control in various ways by creating, maintaining, and destroying. The Sanskrit words were loka, srishti, vikalpana. Vikalpana sometimes is translated as imagination or alternative. You know, there's a vikalpa in grammar means you have a choice of one or the other, option. So vikalpana can mean an option. It can mean an act of imagining something. But here, a different gloss is being given on it. Vikalpitum vividum ishitum shilam yasya. Vikalpana, feminine adjective, or rather noun, feminine noun, means the shila, the character of her, is such to control, vividam ishitum, to control in various ways. So vi-kalpana, the activity of controlling in various ways. There's another, the gloss given here for vikalpana. Or she whose nature is such that she controls in various ways. Various ways. Maya is the agent of creation, maintenance, and destruction. And all the different aspects of each of those three. Okay, and now some statement corroborating this from elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, from the fifth canto. Ata eva bhugola prashne hetutvena ragyapi uktam. Thus King Parikshit spoke as his reason for asking questions about the structure of the universe. So we've heard four cantos of the Bhagavatam about great devotees of the Lord, about some of the incarnations of the Lord in the first four cantos. Now why, all of a sudden, after four cantos, Parikshit starts asking questions about universal structure? You know, physics and geography. Why? So he actually, in his questions, he includes the reason why he's asking such questions. And that is Bhagavato Gunamaye Stula Rupa Aveshita Mano Hyagune Pi Sukshmatama Atma Jyotishi Pare Brahmani Bhagavati Vasudevakye Kshamam Aveshitum Iti. When the mind is fixed upon the personality of Godhead's external feature, made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it also becomes capable of fixing itself on the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. who in his subtler form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. So by meditating on the material creation, which is the energy of God, the creative energy of God, you can, it's a way of learning how to focus your attention on the personality of God. It's an separated aspect of his personality, the material creation. Okay, Vavarnakshri Bhagavantam. When we get this tag, so-and-so to somebody, subject-object, this, the verse under discussion was spoken by Varuna to the personality of Godhead. Such an announcement of who spoke this to whom indicates the end of the Anujade. Varuna was, just going back one paragraph, Namastubhyam Bhagavate Brahmane Paramatmani. That was spoken by Varuna to Krishna. No. Varuna to the Supreme Lord in Jambudvip. In the fifth canto. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm reading the wrong one. 1028, that's Varuna to Krishna. Yeah, sorry. The other one was spoken by Parikshit when he was asking about the universe. Okay. In the middle of the fifth canto, not the beginning. Chapter 16. Okay. There's a commentary here. The material creative energy controls creation and destruction, but she has no control over what is neither created nor destroyed. Her domain is over what gets created and destroyed. What is beyond creation and destruction, she doesn't have any control over. She doesn't have any control over the spiritual existence. Therefore, the one supreme truth, whether appearing impersonally or localized in an individual's heart or with his complete personality, that supreme truth never falls within the purview of the material creative energy. Those who want to realize the full potential of life should work to put aside their infatuation with the temporary illusions of Maya, and turn more and more toward him, the source of eternal happiness. Sometimes we're attached to the manifestations of Maya, the temporary illusions of Maya, because we think they'll make us happy. Sometimes we are attached to them because we're convinced they'll make us miserable. We're attached to being miserable sometimes in the mode of ignorance. And we're attached to the illusory creations of Maya as sources of our misery. But still, we're attached to them. We can't give up our obsession with the sources of our misery. Actually, what we're doing is enjoying our misery. One way or another, we're always attached. We should give up this attachment to the enjoyment and suffering of the illusory illusions of Maya, and turn our attention to the Supreme Lord. Continuing, but as long as their vision, those who want to realize the full potential of life, you may want to, but as long as your vision is still very affected by the conditions of Maya, these people may not be able to focus their attention on the transcendental forms of the Supreme. May not be able. Maybe they're lucky. Maybe somehow or other they can get their attention focused to some extent, despite being disturbed by Maya. But it's not likely that you can be able to focus your attention on the transcendental forms of the Supreme if you're still obsessed with Maya, positively or negatively. For the meanwhile, they may instead meditate on the created universe as the Supreme's body. That might help them. Meditate on the external expansions of the Lord. The universe is external, not his svarupa. That's what external means. Outside, inside. The Lord doesn't have an outside and an inside. But we mean by external, we mean not part of his svarupa, something else. Something that cannot be included in his svarupa because it's temporary, it's miserable, it's confused. And such things can't be inside the Lord's svarupa. is excluded. Just like the shadow cannot exist in the bright light, it has to stay outside. Although it exists only on the strength of the light, but it has to be outside the light, the shadow. Shadows are there. Shadows are real. When a painter creates a painting, he takes advantage of light and shadow. If it's all light, you'll just have a white canvas or a yellow canvas. Or it's so bright you can't distinguish anything. So the darkness is, the shadows are used to highlight the light and make a more interesting picture. But that shadow has to be outside the light. So the material creation is there, and it must remain separate from the Lord. The universe is external. It's not his swarupa. But it is his energy. Therefore, from studying it, the material universe, one can begin to understand his spiritual forms by analogy. The material manifestations are the Lord's energy. So the spiritual manifestations are also the Lord's energy. At least get an idea what the Lord's energies are like by studying the material ones. Then you can extend that knowledge and modify it for understanding the spiritual nature of the Lord. That's for those who are materialistically obsessed. Those who have no such obsession or minimal obsession, whose obsession, positive and negative, whose love and hatred for the material manifestations has been diminished almost to nothing, they can bypass this. They don't have to meditate on the external Virat Rupa. But the materialists, it's advised that they should. And it's there in the Bhagavatam. It's not that we should skip over those chapters proudly thinking that we're beyond this. Several times in the first, second, and third cantos, there's description of the universal form, at least four times. Elaborate description, more than four times, several times. There's elaborate description of the Virat Rupa and what each part of it represents, which part of the body of the Lord is expanding into which part of the Virat Rupa. We're meant to study this. Unless we're actually Paramahamsas, we still need to hear this. If we don't have any affinities to anything material, and we don't have any material phobias, okay, then we're exempt. But if we're still attracted and repelled, we have to detach ourselves by studying the Lord as the creator and maintainer of this world. As long as we're still, to any significant extent, obsessed with this world. But it doesn't mean that we should make the Virat Rupa our eternal object of worship. We're supposed to give that up as soon as we can. We don't put... Maybe the Mayavadis in their ashrams, they have pictures of the Virat Rupa. And the hippies, they have pictures of the Virat Rupa on their walls. It's the Mayavadis in their ashrams, and the hippies in their opium dens, they're the ones who have pictures of the Virat Rupa on the wall or on their altar, on their altars. Sometimes you visit life members, and they've got Virat Rupa and Sai Baba and everything else on their altars. We don't have Virat Rupa or Sai Baba on our altars. Because we're supposed to go beyond that. We're supposed to graduate from meditation on just the external form of the Lord. Okay, now we're up to 27. Tata, there's a statement in the second canto spoken by Brahma to Narada. Tata. Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi yanmayaya durjayaya mam vadanti jagadgurum. Brahma says to Narada, I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, whose invincible potency influences the less intelligent to call me, Brahma, the Supreme Controller. So it's by Maya that people think that I, Brahma, am the Lord of the Universe. Vilajamanaya yasya statum iksha pate muya vimohita vikatante mamahamiti durdiyaha. The illusory energy of the Lord is ashamed to stand before his eyes. But those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, vikatante, to brag or just to speak nonsense. Those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of it is I and it is mine. So that talking nonsense is of the nature of boasting, my and mine. You may be talking philosophy, you may be talking about poetry, about the weather, but the main topic is really me and mine in all material discussions. Tama adi mayatvena swasya sadosha twat sachid ananda ganatvena yasya nirdoshasya netra gochare vilajamanaya amoya mayaya vimohita asmad adayo durdiyaha. Because of her faults of comprising ignorance and the other material modes, she thinks that's her fault. It's not that we should blame her or find fault, but she finds fault in herself that she's comprising ignorance in the other material modes. She's ashamed of her connection with matter. She is embarrassed to be in view of he who is faultless. Who is faultless? Because he is the full embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Full embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. She's ashamed to stand in front of that Lord. Unintelligent persons like us are bewildered by her, by Maya, the same Maya who's ashamed to stand in front of the Lord. She nevertheless is able to completely dominate us. Brahma is including himself among the ignorant conditioned souls who are bewildered by Maya. That's his thinking about himself. We shouldn't think that about him. Sri Brahma, Sri Naradam. This verse was spoken by Sri Brahma to Sri Narada. Narada, his son, came to him for enlightenment. And his question was, I thought, all my young life, I thought you were God, my father. But I see you're meditating on something. So what are you meditating on? Is there something greater than you? That's the question. And this is the beginning of the answer. In answer, Brahma speaks to Narada three chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam in the condensed form that he spoke to Narada. Chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the second canto. Commentary. The second canto of the Bhagavatam narrates how Narada approached his father, Brahma, to resolve some confusion he was feeling. Narada had noticed that although Brahma, who was the creator of the universe, he still seemed to be worshipping someone else. Who could be greater than the creator? The verses cited here are from the beginning of Brahma's reply. Serious desire to know the truth. Some other son might resist letting anyone else be greater than his father, no matter what his father is. But Narada is sincere, not just materially attached to his father. So he's willing to admit that someone might be greater than his father. But he's going to his father out of respect and asking him to explain. Okay, so we'll stop there for today. The next Anuchet 28. Let's see how long it is. 3, 4, 5. has four paragraphs. Anuchet 28 coming up. Okay, this way we're being presented gradually a complete picture of the manifestations of the Lord's spiritual energies. You may want to know, what about Vaikuntha? This is the material world. How does the Lord's energy manifest in Vaikuntha? That's coming up. There'll be a whole section on the manifestations of the spiritual world. What are we studying tomorrow? Okay, the body of the Lord, his vigraha, his spiritual body. This is the Viratrupa we're mentioning now, the material body, but now we're going to talk about his real spiritual body, starting in 28. Okay, so we'll stop. Thank you, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you.